I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Of course, it would not be Thanksgiving without at least a mention of the Pilgrims, you know, the religious refugees who, upon arrival in 1620, named the town of Plymouth in what is now our fair state of Massachusetts, right? Wrong. In fact, Plymouth was named several years earlier by the English explorer and adventurer Captain John Smith. What's more, the Pilgrims actually had one of Smith's maps with them, and it had the name Plymouth on it. I can almost hear you saying, but wasn't Smith the same guy that Pocahontas saved down in Virginia? Yes, but what you're about to hear is not the Disney version of Smith's story.
He was a mercenary. He was in an army fighting the Ottomans out in Central Europe.
John Smith is the subject of a new biography called A Man Most Driven by Peter Firstbrook. He says the captain's life of adventure began long before he stepped ashore in the New World.
And he went through a whole series of escapes. He was seriously wounded. He was taken into slavery. He murdered his slave master. He escaped from that. And it went on and on. He was shipwrecked twice. And all this happened before he ended up in Jamestown in 1607. So he really did have a remarkable life.
Let's not dwell on the Disney-fied version of John Smith's relationship with Pocahontas. I gather her love story was really with a man named John Rolfe, distinctly. What are the key elements, though, of Pocahontas' relationship with John Smith that are true?
Well, they had actually a very interesting relationship, although it wasn't a romantic attachment. But Pocahontas was the favored daughter of the paramount chief of the Powhatan Indians. And as a consequence of that, she really did fulfill a very important role as an intermediary between the native people and the English. There's a lot of tensions at times. And she also, for example, taught John Smith Algonquin, and he became a great admirer of her. And he also used her. So she was used both by her father and by John Smith as an intermediary, and also on at least two occasions did save his life.
That's a kind of legend, but you do believe that she did, in fact, save John Smith's life on two occasions.
Well, on the first occasion, which is the one that everybody knows about, when she cast herself over him and said, "Beat my brains out, not his," it seems likely that it wasn't really an execution that he was about to undergo, but an initiation into the tribe, because the paramount chief had decided at this stage that really he wanted the English on his side, and he saw the English as a sort of a minor tribe within his empire, and he saw John Smith as one of the leaders, and therefore initiated him as a chief within his empire. And so it probably wasn't an execution. It was probably a ritual killing and then a ritual rebirth into the tribe. But a couple of years later, when relations between the English and the native people deteriorated, there was at least one occasion when Pocahontas actually came to the longhouse where John Smith was staying within the capital city of the Powhatan chief, and warned him that, in fact, he was due to be ambushed by the warriors of her father. So she did genuinely take serious risks to save his life.
At one point, Captain John Smith has this terrible accident. A gunpowder sack explodes and castrates him. And then he leaves Virginia. But in 1614, comes back to the New World, a very different region, and he gives this area a name. Tell us what that name was.
Well, he called the area New England. As you say, he came in 1614, which is 400 years ago this year. Mm. And what he did was he surveyed the whole of the area from what is now the Canadian border all the way down to Cape Cod. And he published 2 years later in 1616 his map of New England. And he also wrote a book called A Description of New England.
And that map was really the first good, accurate map of New England. And he also named other places here, including the River Charles that I jog along, not to mention he named the neighborhood of Charlestown, where I rarely go because it's a traffic bottleneck of the Western world, but that's another story. What was really surprising is that, for me anyway, was that Smith was the one who named the site of Plymouth, and that was several years before the Pilgrims arrived there.
It was indeed. I mean, he was out there 6 years before the Pilgrims arrived, and he originally called it a Comac. And he had an audience with Prince Charles, who was the heir apparent to the throne. And he gave Charles the option action of renaming some of the towns on his map, and it was renamed New Plymouth. Smith really identified Plymouth as an excellent place with a good harbour and only in need of industrious people, was the way he framed it. He also named Boston, and he also named Salem in 1614 as well.
Wow, great facts to keep in my mind next time a stranger comes to town. You argue in some ways, Peter, in A Man Most Driven, that John Smith is the founder of the American dream. Explain that.
Well, when he came back from New England in 1614, he spent the rest of his life in London, but he became an absolute passionate advocate for the colonization in New England. And he really wanted to throw away the shackles of this repressive social system that there was in England at the time, of social hierarchy and glass ceilings. And he really wanted the individual to be able to prosper and grow through his own hard work rather than through any family connections. And so he was the first Englishman really to see meritocracy as the solution and independence, hard work, as a way to improve your lot.
Well, interesting philosophy, since he was the son of a tenant farmer.
He was indeed, yes, and found it very difficult to rise up through the social hierarchy in England at the time.
So if Captain John Smith was a big proponent of colonization, who did he think this territory in the New World belonged to? I mean, where was his sense of social hierarchy there with the natives?
Well, things were very different 400 years ago, obviously, and the English arrived in the New World really thinking they could just take whatever they wanted. There was a certain amount of negotiation, and they sort of ostensibly bought land from the native people. But of course, this was for trinkets or a little bit of copper. But certainly when he was in Virginia and Jamestown, he did write quite a lot about the culture of the native people. And he did so really in a very independent style, which was unusual for the period. He was not judgmental about them. He was intrigued, he was fascinated, and he wanted to learn about them. And I think that he was really more independent in terms of his assessment of the native people than most people. And that's not to say that at times he wasn't cruel and brutal and repressive, as indeed all the English were out there in those days. But I think compared to his contemporaries, I think he had a much more modern attitude and approach towards accepting the native people as his equal.
Peter Firstbrook is the author of A Man Most Driven. That's a new biography of Captain John Smith. Peter, I know it's not a bank holiday there, but happy Thanksgiving to you.
I'm going to enjoy it. Thank you very much, Marco.